And welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow. In a few seconds time, inshallah, we'll be joined by Ronald FG. He'll be talking, giving us another wonderful workout to get you going for the rest of the day. And then thereafter, we'll be discussing arthritis, a full Q&A on arthritis. If you want to send any questions through, do it right now so we can entertain those questions or come towards or deal with them after the workout. You can SMS 488-55-072-786-1548 or Twitter at EJAZ_K. But now it's time for the verbal fitness sessions with Ronald Avergy.
I'm so tired.
Don't be. It's time for verbal fitness sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
And yes, it is right now that we introduce Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, brother Ijaz.
Alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
I'm always well, thank you. Keeping fit, keeping healthy.
That is the right way to do it. Now, Ronald, just inform the listeners that we will be discussing arthritis after the workout. But do you want to head straight into the workout right now?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think we should definitely do that, you know, because the thing is we always begin with a workout to get the blood flowing and to really, you know, keep energized and lose some weight where needed.
Brilliant stuff. Let's go.
All right. So today's workout is incorporating cardio and strength training to really, you know, jog up our heart rate and also help shape and tone the body. So wherever you are, let's stand up. And what I want you to do is start off by literally just jogging on the spot.
Okay.
Nothing hectic, just preparing the body for the workout ahead. So keep on jogging and just nice and easy jog on the spot, knees up and down, get the arms to pump. Now, if you find you can't jog on the spot for 60 seconds, all you do is walk as fast as you can and raise your knees up as high as you can. That is how simple and easy it is. All right?
Doing it, yeah.
Great. Now, from that position, I want you now then to shift on into the next exercise. The next exercise is a very simple wall squat. So wherever you are, lean against the wall.
Okay.
Keep your feet about a meter in front of you, feet shoulder width apart. And I want you to imagine with your back leaning against the wall, you're going to sit on a chair.
Okay.
So that you just form before 90 degrees with your knees, and I want you to hold that position for 30 seconds. Now, you might say, Ronald, seriously, are we exercising anything at all?
Golden chair, yeah, carry on.
And the answer, yeah, the golden chair, so you're literally working. Now, for those that wonder, what are you actually doing? We're working deeper muscle tissue by focusing on a concentrated exercise without those muscles contracting or relaxing. So that's what I want you now to do. Hold it there for 60 seconds, and you might be in your head saying, I can't do this, I can't do this. Yes, you can. Hold it. Brother Jazz, are you trying it?
I am. I've been with you all along.
And how are the legs feeling?
Now, Shukar, it's feeling solid, strong.
And the knees okay as well, right? Remember, we spoke about knees.
Yes.
These exercises prevent dynamic motions in the knee, and that's really what you are looking for. Right, moving on to the next exercise. Very simple. Stand up, and I want you now to do jumping jacks. A very simple,
jumping
fun exercise to do it with kids. And jumping jacks for another 60 seconds to really get the heart rate up again. Go, go, go. Feet open wide of the shoulder width. Hands reach up and clap on the top at the same time. And off you go, off you go. Very nice and easy. Keep it going, keep it going. That's it, that's it. Now, with this exercise, you might say, Ron, these are such kid exercises. Yes, and the reason is this is because they actually work. So you have fun and you enjoy it. You can bring the kids in. All right, and relax it up. Now, the next one I want us to do are literally full-length sumo squats. And I love the sumo squats because the ladies always say, Ronald, how do I shape and tone my butt up? And what I want you now to do is keep your feet wider than shoulder width apart, angle your toes out at 45 degrees, and I want you to squat again. But this time as you squat, I want you to hold it in that position, move your weight to the right side, and then move your weight to the left side. And that's what you're going to keep on doing. This is called a side-to-side sumo squat. And that way, again, there's constant tension. You're shifting the weight from one leg to the other leg, and you really begin to isolate those muscles, shaping and toning those legs. And with the cardio that we do, you burn fat to really give you that overall shapely, toned look that many people shift their mindsets towards, and it really helps you be functionally and optimally where you want to be physically. And that's how simple today's workout is.
Brilliant stuff, and yeah, I'm all set for the rest of the day, Ronald. Jazakallah khair for that workout, and to fail, yeah, is proof that I was doing it. easier.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
All right, now we have to go into that discussion on arthritis, Ronald. I'm just catching my breath here.
That means the workout did work.
It worked indeed. Now, on arthritis, there's a very common misconception, right? And this is the question I'm going to start off with. Can cracking your knuckles cause arthritis?
You know, cracking your knuckles, does it cause arthritis? Some people say yes, some people say no. For me, it is not a good or healthy thing to do, because what you're literally doing is, by cracking your knuckles, you begin to affect the joint areas of the finger bones, but you also then, there's a lot of tendons and ligaments that link in the fingers and allow you to bend and keep things and hold things. You basically begin to wear and tear those over a period of time. So yes, you can cause a lot of damage into those knuckles if you keep on cracking it. So at the end of the day, my advice to people is just don't do it, because the risk is too high.
All right. And someone asking here, how is arthritis diagnosed?
Arthritis is diagnosed in many, many ways. I mean, firstly, we look at signs and symptoms. And signs and symptoms would definitely be pain, stiffness, swelling, redness as well. And then what you then do is you go to a doctor who will then have a look at it further. And what they do is they literally look in between. They could do MRIs, they could do scans or even x-rays to look at wear and tear, have a look at certain movement tests to see if there's any literally joint immobility as well. So those are the key things we have to look out for. We can't diagnose at home. We can't diagnose over the phone. But we can help you identify what those signs and symptoms are. And remember, the earliest symptom is pain, which is, you know, then followed by stiffness. And it's usually short-lived in the morning and may reoccur after periods of time. And you really look at that as it's happening. It's the point where you feel like you can't move, you're too stiff in and around the joint area. That's what you have to look out for.
Reminder to the listeners, you're listening to Mind, Body and Chow. We're speaking to Ronald Evergies, a fitness and wellness expert. And today, we're discussing arthritis. If you've got any questions you want to ask, do so. SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or you can tweet at EJAZ_K. And reminder, the lines are open throughout the show. 011-854-1548. Now, Ronald, is there any new research in arthritis?
You know, there's always new research happening in different medical industries, actually all medical industries. But I think the biggest thing is that many people ask, what causes these issues? What causes these things? And many people say, no, it's in my genes. You know, mm-hmm. whether it be weight loss, whether it be diabetes, nice, my genes is what my family's got, and that's what we live with. And the research is now going very much into and delving into the genetic gene pool and seeing which genes and which DNA strands and so forth really affect different diseases of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But for arthritis, what people are identifying a lot more is they're looking at joint replacements a lot, and that's where the new technology is lying in. So they're literally using titanium joints, especially on the hip replacements and knee replacements, to allow you to have a bigger range of motion, improve your recovery time. And that's where the biggest level of technology is shifting towards.
Okay, a message coming on WhatsApp says, yeah, my sister's hand and leg pains a lot sometimes, and mostly on the left side.
All right, when it comes to that, remember, arthritis is very focused around the joint area. Mm. And if it's on one side or the other side, you know, I would really advise them to go see the doctor. Because is the pain only in the joints, or is it in the muscles, or is it the entire arm area, or is it on the left side? Those kinds of things we have to look out for, but often that's an indicator of maybe a vascular disorder, maybe a nerve disorder as well. So be very conscious thereof before we associate that with arthritis. But if it is arthritis, then what you can do is literally begin mobilizing that area and look at literally exercising for that area. If it is in your hands, which I assume is on the left side, then you have to look at exercises to create little tension spots in between the little small bones to force blood in and to really begin to relieve that pain over a period of time.
How effective are vitamins and multivitamins in all of this in assisting or trying to reverse the effects of arthritis?
You know, there's lots of medications out there, Brother Jazz. I mean, from analgesics, which help to reduce pain but have no effect on inflammation. Then you get anti-inflammatories, which affect the inflammation only. You get counter-irritants, which are some varieties of creams and ointments that contain things like methanol or capsaicin, which is make it hot and spicy, you know, almost burning, you know. Many people say that. You also get the disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs, biological I mean, there's so many out there.
Yes.
And at the end of the day is that you could say to yourself, you know what, are you going to rely on a tablet to fix you, or are you really going to take preventative measures? But once you do have it, medication only according to what your doctor prescribes and or supplementation, linked in with healthy eating and, of course, strength training exercise is important for arthritis.
Okay, a final question coming from our friend Nizam out in Mauritius. He's saying, Assalamu alaikum. Is arthritis when the palms of the hands are sore? Sometimes in humid areas, palms of my hands become sore. He's asking, is that some variety of arthritis?
Not necessarily, no. The palms of the hands are very, although it's close to the wrist area, you could misassociate it for being arthritis. If it's only the palm area, you know, whether it be hot or humid, the area, you might have bruised it, picked up something, pushed on something, or really caused flexion in your wrist, which means you either pulled your wrist too far back or pushed it too far forward. And that could cause a little bit of pain at the base of the palm. So that brother, I would really say to you, you know, look at stretching exercises for the wrist area and for the palm area. Ones where you could stretch your hands in front of you, pull your fingers right back, feel if there's any stress or tension on the forearm area, on the top or the back of the forearm, and that will help us identify what really we can do to assist you with that pain in the palm.
And I said that was the last one, but I see another one has just come through. So from Mauritius, we go to Richards Bay. And the question is, if a male's Achilles tendon is very, very sore, is it arthritis? He walks for plus minus 45 minutes a day briskly. Also, knees are painful and his age is 50 plus.
Oh, well, I mean, firstly, congratulations for walking at that age. I mean,
brilliant.
For keeping active. Alhamdulillah for that.
Alhamdulillah.
But let me look at the two questions. The Achilles tendon, right? It's a tendon. So it doesn't really link to arthritis. That could be because of wear and tear or possibly not stretching enough because your Achilles tendon pulls on something called your soleus, which is that bottom muscle before you get your calf, which is called your gastrocnemius or gastrocnemius. So it could be that you're not stretching enough. And when that happens, especially with a lot of walking, you don't have the correct shoes when you're walking, it does put a lot of pressure and strain to your Achilles tendon. So be very wary there when you do walk. And if your knees are feeling sore when you walk, are you overweight? Yes or no? If you are, it could be a weight-bearing concern. Or number two is, if you're not overweight and you have been running for a long period or walking for a long period, it could be slight arthritic symptoms. But that, again, is go to the doctor and do a quick examination so we can figure out what strength training to give you to plug into your walk to begin to strengthen those muscles around the knee that we spoke about last week.
Brilliant stuff. Jazakallah khair for your insight this morning, or this afternoon rather, Ronald. You have yourself a wonderful day, inshallah. And we'll pick it up tomorrow at the same time.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah to Ronald for his time and expertise. And jazakallah khair to our listeners for sending in those questions so that we could ask them for you here on Radio Islam International's Mind, Body and Chow. In a few seconds time, we'll be joined by Janine Shamos. She's a transformation coach. And we'll be talking about food as an icebreaker, in terms, is it also food, you know, when people send you chicken soup when you're feeling sick, is it the soup that makes you better, or is it the fact that someone took time to make the soup for you and came to visit you and gave you the chicken soup that helps in terms of, you know, you feeling better? That's some of the things we will be talking to with Janine in a few seconds time, inshallah. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International.
When life is hard, you know it can get harder sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray that Allah will keep me on the straight path, holding me close, I'll never stray back, keeping it deep within my soul. Just wait for me to come home.
Hello. Is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 48855. WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or tweet ejaz at ejaz_k.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
Time now for the continuation on our discussion on mind, body and chow. We're joined now on the line by Janine Shamos, transformation coach. And the last few weeks we've been speaking about food and psychology and all of these things. Very, very interesting indeed. And she joins us once again on the line. Good afternoon and welcome, Janine.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me back.
Thank you so much for joining us again. Now, to get it started, Janine, why is food such a good icebreaker in, you know, getting people to feel comforted and opening up to others?
I think as human beings, and I think it crosses cultures, it crosses families, it crosses color barriers and religious barriers. I think as human beings, we're generally pretty bad at being terribly comforting verbally. So we kind of use different things. You know, we know, I think I was probably raised in a bit of the British way. When in doubt, have a cup of tea. Boys do the cup of tea. And it almost seems, you know, we're raised with those kind of almost symbolic actions. So, you know, someone's feeling down or they've had a stressful day, you make them a cup of tea. It's easier than maybe saying, you know, are you okay? But we've been raised with that crossover that we know what it means. And it's, I think as human beings, we might not verbalize very well, but so we substitute food and drink for how we're feeling and how we're connecting.
Before we go to the next question, I see a message on Facebook from Hasina Majid. She says, it's the act of feeling loved and cared for, especially during illness, and it serves as an emotional boost for the ill person.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And there's nothing better for the soul, really, I think. And, you know, when someone's feeling sick, whether it's a physical illness or you're just going through a really tough time, and you know that someone's taken the time, the love, the effort to make you, you know, a cup of tea or make you some soup and deliver it and bring it to you, there's that sense of feeling loved and that sense of feeling that you belong and you're important enough and someone wants you to get better. And I think that's a very powerful thing.
Indeed. And whether it's a cup of tea, as you mentioned, or chicken soup idea, why do we often put love into food symbolically?
I think it's often an easier way than maybe, you know, saying it outright. I think there are a lot of people that we're almost told growing up, and I think our society is getting a little bit stranger maybe in a couple of ways, that, you know I taught for many years, and it was always, you know, don't touch a child, don't even put your hand on their shoulder if they're crying, kind of thing. So we have all of these boundaries that we set up. So we sometimes feel that we're not allowed to tell the person we care about them. But that act of just stirring, as you can hear, I'm a tea baby, but I'm, you know, just that act of stirring tea, you know, is almost like a part of me is going into that. If people are coming around for a meal, I'm not going to, you know, buy something, I'll make it, because there's that little part of me that I know is going into, you know, what I'm doing. And I think we subconsciously do that. And I think as, you know, if you go to somebody for a meal, or someone delivers the cake or the soup to you, we almost get that as well. We get that symbolic act of love. We really do. An act of compassion and kindness, I think, is really important.
Indeed. And Zinat Abdul on Facebook also saying, as long as the food tastes good also. And she says the realization that someone cares and is willing to take the time out to make you feel better, that's what lifts the spirits and somehow encourages you to get better. Hope this makes sense.
It makes absolute sense, because I think so often, you know, and I'm totally with her, you know, if the food is horrible, you know, we appreciate it, but not quite as much as if it's delicious. But, you know, I think that kind of, you know, whether you're feeling sick or down, there's almost a sense of, you know, we're wallowing in a black hole, we don't feel very nice, we're physically sore, we're emotionally sore, we feel very alone. And the fact that someone cares enough to come and visit and put some of themselves and some love into some food for us, it's almost that reassurance. You know, like, you're feeling down, I know that, and I care enough that you get better. You know, and I think we get that. I really do. And I think it's a very important part of showing our caring and compassion for someone else, that we do show them almost symbolically as well as verbally and as well as every other way, because we get it as well, and we get different kind of healing from that.
Indeed. Before we go into the next question, I see some more messages coming through. Rukeya Hansa saying both love and ingredients. Then Naima Z. Patel saying definitely the act to show someone that you care about them and that you are concerned about their well-being. Then Fatima Adam saying it is the thought that counts. But now on to the next question, Janine. What are your thoughts about the symbols in food?
I think maybe because I do come from a very foodie family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think people have their own traditions maybe within their families about what your your symbols might be. So mine might be slightly different to other people's because my mother's a chocoholic. So, you know, when in doubt, eat chocolate. You know, happy, sad, celebrate, eat chocolate. But it was always kind of, it became a symbol of togetherness, of familyness, you know, how we're raised and we, there's almost a sense of you have a different relationship depending on what you're sharing with someone. If I'm making a decadent cake, which I attempted to make this weekend, but it's a very different symbol than if I'm making, I don't know, a pasta and crunchy bread. You know what I mean? That kind of what you're sharing with someone is a symbol of how close you are to that person and how you want your relationship to go almost. So I think within, you know, it'd be interesting to hear from people if they've got family symbols for food or what their family little triggers are that they share.
Indeed, you guys listening out there, please call us 011-854-1548. I see a listener on WhatsApp is joking. I think she agrees with your mom's philosophy. She says, I think I get well soon when I see chocolates, not so much the soups.
With her as well. She would have loved my house this weekend. We kind of did the chocolate thing in extreme. I think if I don't see chocolate for at least another year, I'll be very happy. I know with the chicken soup is always, you know, I think that I'm probably showing my age now, looking at that series of books that came out, Chicken Soup for the Soul, I think it was called. Mm. And, you know, it was always, no, chicken soup was the thing, and then they kind of proved that there was something in chicken soup that acted almost like a kind of penicillin, and I always thought, give me cake. I don't want the soup. You know, don't give me the chicken soup. Give me something else, you know. But I think it is your preference and how you're raised as well.
Yes, indeed. Keep interacting with us, listeners. 011-854-1548, the call-in number. You can SMS as well, 48855, or you can WhatsApp 0727861548. Also Twitter, at EJAZ_K. Now, Janine, is there a psychological reason for a tea in a crisis or soup when someone's feeling ill that almost overshadows the benefits of nutrition?
I think so. I think that particularly I'm going to use tea as an example because, okay. Actually anybody's been brought up in any kind of English or British kind of heritage, you know, any kind of British country that, you know, whether they're there for a minute or a year, there's very much that cup of tea is associated with, you know, everything. You hear of a trauma and immediately, let me make you a cup of tea. But there's, if you think about even making yourself a cup of tea, it almost gives you time to connect with your emotions and connect with how you're feeling. So if you think of this, even if you're making tea non-ritualistically, I guess, if you're just, you know, putting a tea bag in a cup and pouring boiling water over it, they still, you've got to boil the kettle, you've got to put the teacup in, you've got to stir it. There's this process that you go through, and that allows us to connect with how we're really feeling. If we think psychologically or emotionally, we very often react on a knee-jerk reaction basis. Mm. So something happens and we feel, or we feel miserable, or we feel something, but once we're given time to step back a little bit from that, We kind of feel differently and we're able to put things in perspective and we're able to verbalize how we're feeling. And just the act of, example, making that tea gives our body and our mind that time to really come together to catch up and give us some breathing room.
Indeed. Now, finally, Janine, what are other ways that people comfort others?
I think, you know, depending on how we work, I think that, you know, when we were talking about bullying last week, and I was thinking about a client that I had, a little girl, she was 7 years old and badly bullied at school, and we used to bake together, or just come home from school and we'd make, lunch together, and then we'd sit and eat it. And that kind of, again, you know, brought her that kind of closure and gave her time to just get involved with something else and then we talk. So I think we often use food to comfort, to connect. maybe there are people in our lives that we love dearly and we care about, but we feel that we can't necessarily have a conversation. So we show our affection in other ways, and that might be through, you know, bringing a plate of biscuits that we've baked to somebody, you know, sharing food, sharing a cup of tea, sharing a laugh over, you know, even a bowl of popcorn, watching the sports, or a movie is really that tactile function to get us to share emotions. So I think we do it in a lot of ways, and I think it's very, very important to look at maybe within your own families, your own homes, you know, having things like dinners every night together around the table allows us that opportunity to share and connect.
Brilliant stuff, and thank you for sharing and connecting with us today, Janine. We've run out of time. It was always it's always enjoyable listening to your comments and insights, and I'm sure the listeners themselves enjoy this segment very much so. And we look forward to picking it up next week again.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it. And thanks to everybody for their comments. They're fantastic.
Brilliant. And you have yourself a wonderful day.
You too. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That was Janine Shamos, Transformation Coach, talking to us about the comfort of food in terms of, you know, how a chicken soup someone sends you, they come to your house, they bring it for you and say, yeah, I know you aren't feeling too well. I hope you enjoy the soup, and you know, I hope it makes you feel better. And somehow or the other, that chicken soup, you end up feeling better, and you don't realize, but it's actually the visit of the person coming all the way to come and visit you and spend some time with you that helps in your healing process. So we hope that you've enjoyed this segment of Mind, Body, and Chow. Inshallah, we'll be picking it up tomorrow again with the on-air workout with Ronald. And, of course, tomorrow's discussion will be with Life Coach Sumaya Kuvadia. We're discussing all things teen and, you know, the transformation of teens. So you can tune in at 1:30 tomorrow again for another installment of Mind, Body, and Chow. From myself, Ijaz Khan, and Usama Basiuni, my engineer, it's
Assalamu Alaikum.
Hello, is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 488-55. WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or tweet Ejaz at EJAZ_K.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح سنة أدى يا صاحي كي تستريح وبث الدعاء الخفي الصريح يسعك الفضاء الرحيم الفسيح سبيل الدموع سبيل مريح سنة هدايا صاحي كي تستريح.